So I'm still going to share because we still got lots of time. Hallelujah. We're going to have communion in a little bit, but I do want to take some time to share. The title of my message today is Upside Down Christmas. That's themes with what the kids were talking about. Can I have my pulpit back? Yeah. So if you'd stand with me, we're going to read the word today. It's out of John chapter 18, verse 37. And it says, Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king then? And Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. For this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our children. We thank you, Lord, for their love for you. Lord, for their passion for Jesus. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, we could really just celebrate Jesus in this season like never before. And Father, that your word would come alive to us to the point that we continue to reveal the truth of Jesus Christ in our lives. And Lord, that we would have a word in this season to share with family and friends and loved ones, Lord, and that the gospel of the kingdom would pour through us. Lord, I pray that we would have an ear to hear what you are saying to us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. You may be seated. You know, I think it's wonderful when kids get to minister, when kids get to share. I think that everybody should be able to share Jesus. Amen. I think that we should all have a story that we could tell somebody. You know, I was a mold maker for 25 years, an injection mold maker. I could do every aspect. I could run every machine in the shop. I did the computers. I did graphics. I did design. I did programming. I could run the mill, the lathe, every machine, the grinders, the EDMs, if you know what all that is. But I was very blessed with the Lord to be able to learn all this stuff. But the thing of it is I was a mold maker for 25 years. But how do you take what you do and use it to promote the gospel? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus just looked for opportunities to share the gospel. He said, hey, look, you see that city up on the hill? And, you know, I had a friend that went to Jerusalem earlier this year. And he said, you know what? He goes, I went to where they talked about that. And he says, and you look up, and there's a city on a hill over there. And he said, you know, and he's talking about don't hide your light under a bushel, but let your light shine. He's pointing to the city. Or he said, hey, the kingdom of God is like the great pearl. Or the kingdom of God is like a lost sheep. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like that. That's the way Jesus took everyday life and presented the gospel message to people. And I think, you know, me being a mold maker for 25 years, that I needed to be able to relate to people in what I did. So the kingdom of God is like being an injection mold maker. And as an injection mold maker, I had to design and detail out the molds that we were going to build. So I would get a part design for, if you have your phone or even this bottle, I've made so many bottle molds. You know, I'd get the design, they'd give me the design of a bottle, and I'd have to design a mold around it. And I had to make the design work so that everything just would come together in the end. So I was the main designer, so I would design the mold, and I would design it three-dimensional so that all the parts to it, that it would work. So, but I would design it in levels. So like I would design the base plate on one level, then I'd put the rails, then I'd put the ejection system, then I'd put the core, then I'd put the cavity, then if it had slides, I would design all of it, but each piece was on a different level. So that when I was all done with detailing out the design, I could send one person this level, another person the other level, so that at the same time, all the parts to the mold were being built. And then when it was all done, we would come together and we would assemble the mold together. And now it didn't always just fit. There was times where we had to file a little here, we had to sand a little, we had to grind a little off this piece, off that piece, to take a little off this one, a little off that, to make it all fit together to work good. And then when it was all done, the mold was all put together. Then we'd have to polish it because it'd have to shine. I remember, you know, in the years in mold making, my eyes were slowly fading. And as I would look just at a mold, this guy says, "Ron, look at this mold." And I'm like, "What's wrong with it?" And he goes, "Can't you see that scratch in it?" I said, "No." And he handed me a magnifying glass. He says, "Now do you see that scratch in it?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, it's like a cavern in there, you know." But the kingdom of God is like being a mold maker in the sense that God has a perfect design for the body of Christ. Amen? And there are many parts to the body. Many parts. And, you know, and God brings us together to build the kingdom together, to make something wonderful. But when we do come together, there are times that we have to file off some rough edges. We have to bring in the sandpaper and it gets a little abrasive, because to bring out the shine, you got to rub it hard. You got to, you know, sometimes when we would shine that mold, we would start out with a rough sandpaper and we'd get it smoother and smoother and smoother to where you could see your face shine in it. Well, the kingdom of God does the same thing. The Word of God, it rubs off our rough edges. Sometimes it rubs on us, and sometimes people get rubbed the wrong way. But when we all come together and the rough edges are being taken off as the body of Christ, we can really shine. We can be so attractive that everybody wants to be a part of the body of Christ. See, that's how the kingdom of God is like being a mold maker. I went to a plumbing store. I don't know if you guys noticed last week, but we had two urinals out in the men's bathroom last Sunday. We had a toilet clog in the ladies' bathroom. We had a sprinkler out in the front yard. We had a toilet sticking in the back behind the stage. We had all these plumbing issues last week. And so I told this one brother in the church, Ray Atalan, said, "You know, if you've got time this week, if you're not working, man, and you can come help me." He came and he fixed all those plumbing issues, every one of them. He replaced all the handles in the urinals. He got the toilet working in the women's bathroom. He fixed a sprinkler out there with spraying water. He did all those things. But in order for him to do that, I had to go to the plumbing store. So I went to the plumbing store and I'm buying all these parts and stuff so he can get it all done. And when I was there, I looked for an opportunity to talk to anybody that will listen to me. So I started sharing with the guys behind the counter about what I do as a minister and the doors that God's opened up for me. And I started sharing about some of the countries I've been to. And I just turned it around to my message that I bring to the people when I'm going to these nations and stuff. And then, you know, they checked me out. They gave me like a 50% discount. And I said, "Glory to you." You know, they really blessed me. And I went out and I was really blessed. But I went to my car and I put the stuff in my car, and then I hear somebody yell, "Hey, Ron!" I turn around. It's the salesman that was at the counter. He says, "How can I learn to present the gospel with boldness the way that you came and talked to us?" I said, "Well, do you know Jesus?" He goes, "Absolutely." I said, "Are you involved in a church?" And he goes, "Eh." I said, "Well, that'd be the first step. Get involved in your local church." I said, "The next thing is think about it. You sell plumbing supplies. How does the kingdom of God apply to plumbing? Scott, come on, man. How does the kingdom of God apply to plumbing?" Listen, I thought about it last night. The kingdom of God is just like being a plumber. Thank you, Al. All right, so the kingdom of God is like a plumber. Now, Scott and Juwan, they design plumbing systems. They design plumbing for buildings complete. So the thing that as a plumber, when you have to have this incredible design so that when the toilets are flushed, the waste goes the right way. That is flowing down and out and into the sewer lines. But they also have to make sure that the water that you're going to wash your hands with is pure. pure, that you're getting pure, clean water to your hands. So the kingdom of God is like a plumber in the sense that when I come to Jesus Christ, the first thing that He did is He flushed my sins away. Amen? He flushed it away. And He filled me with the pureness of the kingdom of God, that out of me flows a river of living water. Amen? That's how the kingdom of God is like a plumber. See, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do, somebody shout out what you do. Web development. The kingdom of God is like a web developer. Because a web developer has to, first of all, have a plan. Amen. They have to have a plan. They have to build a storybook of things before they put it on the web. So they build a storybook of things to put it together. They put pages together and they map out all their pages as they're developing the web. And the web developer is just like the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God, Jesus is building us as pages. And He brings us together so that when we come together and we launch that website, that we can shine forth and spread the gospel. Gospel of the kingdom. Amen. He's working you out right now today to be able to share the gospel of the kingdom. And that's what our children did today. Our children came and they told us the story of the candy cane. And I want to kind of go through that with you today. In Indiana, a candy wanted to make a candy that could be a reminder of Jesus Christ. So he made the Christmas candy cane. He started off with a stick of pure white hard candy. The white color symbolized the virgin birth. And in Luke chapter 1, 26 through 35, I'm going to read the whole thing to you. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David." The virgin's name was Mary. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I've not known a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. And therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Well, there it is. It's written in the Word of God that she was a virgin, that the Holy Spirit put the seed of God in her so that He was God and man. Amen? And He was born of a virgin. And it's a miraculous journey that they went on when she was pregnant to Bethlehem. And as Juan was saying, you know, in a manger, in where they lay the animals, she gave birth to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the angels rejoiced and the shepherds came out. But the white candy also represented His sinless nature. Jesus was sinless. When I think of sinless, He didn't say anything bad. He didn't do anything bad. He was perfect in everything that He did. He was sinless. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." So, what God the Father did is He took all of our sin and He put it on Jesus. So, the one who never sinned, all of our sin was put on Him, so that when He went to the cross, He paid the price for all of our sin, so that we don't have to. So that the benefit for us is when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is that we become the righteousness of God in Him. So we come into right standing with God in Him because of what Jesus has done. But listen, it says that we might become. The might is there because it's your choice. It's your decision to follow Jesus or not. Amen? Nobody's going to make that up for you. You have to decide if you're going to follow after Jesus. But then the hard candy also symbolized the solid rock, which is the foundation of the church, and the firmness of God's promises. Last Sunday, the title of my message was Solid Rock, or Rock Solid. You know, standing upon the rock of Jesus Christ. He said in Matthew 7:24, he said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock." And that's what we want to do. We want to have our rock in Jesus Christ, amen, on what he has told us and on who he is. We want to be on that foundation. We don't want to be on sand because we know that storms are going to come. It says the rain's going to come, the wind's going to blow, the floods will happen. So we're all going to, we all go through stuff. How many of you have been going through some tough stuff lately? See, just look around. Everybody's going through things right now, but hey, if we're on the rock of Jesus Christ, we're not going to be moved, amen? We're not going to be destroyed. We're just going to keep going forward in the things of God. And he also said his promises are for us. His promises, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, he says, for all the promises, everybody say all. I watched Londa preach, and I watched it on YouTube the other day. You know, we went away for a few days this week, and we thought, well, let's just rent a car, a nice little car, and we'll go down and we'll just go to San Diego and have some fun. Well, we rented a car. We got down towards Lake Elsinore, and the car broke down. You know, and then they towed us back to Orange County Airport and gave us another car, and we went to San Diego. But in that five-hour wait, it was a fun time. I took pictures. I smiled. I laughed. I had a good time. But we listened to Delonda preaching a few weeks ago. And it's so funny because she stood up here and she said, everybody say, aw. I'm like, what? Everybody say, aw. Because all the promises of God are yes and amen to us. Amen. If you can believe it, you can receive it. Amen. If it's in the Word of God, it's there for you. You know, I know people that, you know, that have been in church a long time and they can believe for the promises for other people. Well, I believe God can heal you, but my question is, but do you believe he can heal you? You see, because it's a lot easier to believe for somebody else, but when it's on you, that's where the rubber meets the road, amen? That's when you got to believe for yourself, believe that God wants to do it in you because he loves you, amen? We can trust God. Line up with him and trust him, amen? And his ways are perfect, and his promises are good. Allow the promises of God to come alive in you, amen? That's what I love to see, the promises of God come alive. The candy cane maker, he made the candy, as the kid said, in the form of a J. See, they've turned them all upside down now, or right side up. We would say upside down. Now, that picture that I put up there, I had to turn the picture over because the picture was the other way when I found it. I'm like, no, we're turning it upside down. J, the name of Jesus. That was the original intent of the candy maker. And also for the shepherd's staff. In Luke 1:31, and I read it to you, it says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Jesus, amen. And in John 10:14, it says, I am the good shepherd. I'm known by my sheep and am known by my own. I know my sheep and am known by my own. So Jesus is the good shepherd too. He is known by his sheep. If we are in Christ, he knows us and we know him. Amen. We can walk with him. We can talk with him. We can have fellowship with God. It's not just a go to church once a week. It's wake up tomorrow morning and say, whoa, Lord, how you doing today? Just do it. When you roll out of bed, you put that foot on the floor and say, Jesus! I can't talk that loud because I wake Delonda up. But it's Jesus, good morning. Just pause when you say it. Just pause in the morning when you say, good morning, Lord. And just wait. And let him speak back to you, because he will. He'll just minister to you. He says, my sheep know my voice. I'm known by them. He knows us. We know him. It's a relationship, amen? We're tied to God when we're born again, when we come into the kingdom of God. He is the good shepherd. And he wants to have fellowship with us as believers. Amen? So what the candy cane maker is doing is exactly what Jesus did. Because Jesus, like I said, he said, hey, the kingdom of God is like a pearl. The kingdom of God is like a lost coin. Or the kingdom of God is like a city on the hill. I mean, Jesus used whatever was around him to express the kingdom of God. He did whatever he could to express what God was wanting to do. And see, now for me, I travel a lot. I go to places, exotic places around the world. You know, I mean, like, you know, I went to Pakistan this year. I went to China this year. And people are always amazed when I say, well, I went to Pakistan. They're like, what? You went where? That's why I went to Pakistan. And they said, what'd you do in Pakistan? Well, I did crusades for 8 days. I got to tell people about Jesus. I got to tell a couple last night. I was talking to him because, see, I always look for opportunity. So last night I was at a Christmas party and people were just talking to me. And so I worked it into the conversation. I had one couple there. They're like, this guy looks at me because I was telling him about the miracles that Jesus did. The things that I've seen him do. And the guy steps back. He goes, so you're like one of them faith healer guys? I said, I hit him in the chest. I said, aren't you? And he looked at me. I said, because the sign. I said, you believe in Jesus? He said, yeah. I said, well, the signs of a believer is that we cast out demons, we speak in new tongues, we drink anything deadly, it's not going to hurt, and we lay hands on the sick and they recover. He's like, oh my gosh. So I don't know if it was his girlfriend, wife, or whatever, but she sat down and she said, well, my dad's Catholic. You know, how do I do that? I said, well, just tell your dad you're gonna pray the way that Mary prayed. You're not going to pray to Mary. You're going to pray the way that Mary prayed. She's like, well, how did Mary pray? I said, he prayed to the Father in the name of the Son. She's like, oh, I thought there was some special thing. I said, that is the special thing. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus and he'll do it. She's like, so I could like just go and lay hands on my dad who's been ill and I could pray for him and believe. I said, if you believe that God can do it, he will do it. See, I'm doing this in the dining room of this house, just having fun. See, this candy maker is saying, I want to express the kingdom of God to people. How can I do it, Lord? And you and me can look to the Lord and say, I want to express Jesus. How can I do it? And then ask God to show you how. This candy maker came up with a great way to share with us. And listen, it's been going on for hundreds of years. It was like in the mid-1800s that the candy cane was made to express the witness of Jesus Christ. And just like the candy cane maker, you too can take what you do, where you're at, what Christ is doing in your life, and you can express it in such a way that you'll capture people's attention. That people will want to hear from you. That people will want to hear what you say. That people will chase you out of a plumbing store to find out more. I'll tell you, that was so much fun. That was so much fun just to have that guy come and say, hey, how do you do this stuff? I said, well, that's a really long conversation, but let me give you a flash bulletin here real quick. You're a plumbing guy. And I just went through it with him. Just think about what you do. And how can you express it in just normal conversation? You don't have to have a pulpit. You don't have to carry around a big Bible like this. Now, I know this thing is big, but it's 18 font. You could probably read it from there. I like big font. You don't have to carry this around. You just got to know what Jesus is doing in your life and incorporate it into your environment. Whether you do sales, finances, real estate, photography, police work, it doesn't matter. Teacher, kingdom of God is like a teacher. Jesus came to teach us all things relating to the Father so that we would know the way, that we would know the truth, and that we would live the life. Amen. So it's about taking what He's done in our lives and letting it flow out of us. But He also said, the candy maker goes on and he says, He then stained it with three stripes, which showed the scourging received and symbolized the blood shed by Christ on the cross. Now, I got out the candy canes last night, and I was looking at how many stripes. It seems like on every candy cane now they put four. Because every candy cane I looked at last night, and there's a lot of them in our house. You know, Delana had a bag full of candy canes that we probably had for a lot of years, which you dare not eat. But they all had four stripes. But he made it with the intent of three. Because the three stripes represents this. In John 19, 1 and 2, it says, so Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put it on him, a purple robe. And then in John 19, it says, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. So there was the scourging, there was the crown of thorns, there was a spear in the side. And if we want to go number four, the nails that pierced his hands and feet. So the red on the candy cane is not just for flavor. It represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. And it was shed so that we could have life and life more abundantly. Amen. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I came to give you life. And life more abundantly. I mean, when it says life more abundantly, it means super abundance. It means supercalifragilisticexpialidocious abundance. It means so much abundance that there's not enough room to handle it. That's what Jesus' blood is meant to do for us. To let us have life. Amen. That we can live. That's His intent, that we live and not die. Amen. And I think on the back of it here, it tells the story of the candy cane, but it's not 18 font. I could read it though. Many years ago, a candy maker wanted to make a candy that would symbolize the truth, true meaning of Christmas. Jesus. But as I wrote this message, all I could think about was Easter. All I could think about was His death, His resurrection, how He died and He came to life, how He beat death, how He beat sickness and disease, how He beat it all to say, hey, I'm doing this for you. So that we, everybody's we. Look at your neighbor and say, we. We become the righteousness of God. That's His intent. Amen. And then the last thing. When I went looking for candy canes last night and I got that baggie of candy canes out, many of them were broken. How many of you know candy canes are easy to break? I just broke mine. Can I get another one, Maggie? Yeah, isn't what the kids say? Can I get another one? I just broke it. It breaks so easy. But Jesus, He allowed Himself to be broken for us. Now today, we put a picture and we gave you something of a candy cane. But it has nothing to do with candy. It has everything to do with Jesus. It's somebody's way to express their love of God to the world. And I know that the Spirit of God is here today to express His love to each one of us. If we can just receive it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give You praise for the day. We thank you, Father God, that you give ideas to men and women of God on how to be a light and how to let it shine forth. And I pray today, Father, that everyone here within the hearing of my voice, Lord, would allow their light to shine forth, Father, to present the gospel message, Lord. That you would give us ideas, fresh ideas, Lord, to be able to share the message of Jesus with people. That, Lord, that we would have the boldness and the love of God in us to care enough for people to share the gospel with them. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I have not been committed to Jesus. That candy cane could be upside down, turned around. It hasn't mattered in my life lately because of the way I've been living. I've been upside down. I haven't been where I should be with Jesus. But today I want to get on track. I want to get right with the Lord today. I want to make that commitment to serving Jesus again. If that's you today, I want you to just raise your hand right now. Just look at me. You say, I want to make that commitment to Christ today. Anybody here? Amen. 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 Anybody else? Amen. It's a big commitment. One other thing. Maybe you're here today and you say, Lord, I want to be able to reveal my story. For whatever reason you've held back, and whether it be timidity, fear, whatever, or just not quite knowing how to express it, but you say, today I want to be able to express what Jesus is doing in my life. I want that boldness. If that's you today, just raise your hand right now. Amen. 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 Praise you, Father. Why don't we all stand? Dear Heavenly Father, we've seen the hands that making a commitment to you today. And I pray, Father God, that, Lord, that the power of your blood would just come. It would just flush away the sin in their lives today in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, the purity of the gospel of the kingdom would come alive in them and wash them and cleanse them. And, Lord, that out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water now. Lord, that you would strengthen them in the kingdom of God and the things of you, Jesus. And, Lord, I pray today for that holy boldness to be on all of us. That, Lord, that you would show us how. You would give us ideas on how to express the kingdom of God to those around us. That, Lord, that we would not be fearful, but, Lord, that we would be bold like a lion, but harmless like a dove, Father God, and be able to share Jesus with people. Father, we thank you for the commitment to Christ in this house today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. Amen.